Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Hey, everybody. It's Johnny B here.
What's up, Johnny B?
Oh, commanding the phone lines, per usual.
Yeah, commanding the phone lines.
Oh, right. Yeah. I got to tell them when they got to wake up, unfortunately.
That's it. Well, and we do have phone lines available if somebody wants to call in on Open Line Sunday. It's your call. 713-572-4610, or you can give me a text at 713-480-6713. During the break, I was reading a little bit about the blue hole that's in a reef, you know, in the middle of the Caribbean out there at Belize. It's supposed to be a breathtaking dive. We'll leave that up to the pros. But got a message earlier from Dennis saying, hi, Captain. I heard you talk about your full stringers that are mounted and reminded me of a place called Lowry's Restaurant near Milam on Toledo Bend where they had two stringers, excuse me, with about 10-pound bass, and the other one had a huge stringer of 10 of huge stripers, all caught by Shine Fleming. Back in the 1980s, thought maybe you could bring this up on your show and see if anybody else remembers that it was pretty incredible to see all those huge fish on a stringer like that. Thank you, Captain. Really enjoy your show. All right. Yes. Problem with those big stringers, I think it was easier to catch them back then than it was to have them mounted. They're quite expensive. A lot of money. It adds up. But anyway. Let's do a little weather update this morning. Let's see what's going on around Galveston. They've changed nothing. Same forecast, mix of clouds and sun during the morning. That'll give way to kind of cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 83. Winds will be northwest at 10 to 15. Same thing for tonight, throwing in about a 10% chance. Northwest 10 to 15. Then tomorrow, winds will start out north. They'll be shifting over to southwest at 10 to 15. And this morning I noticed leaving the house I had due west winds. Now they're mostly northwest. That's kind of what's going on at this time. But anyway, it's going to be a nice day. Looks like we're not going to get much rain at all. So I'm glad for that. Right now, currently, Galveston Fishing Pier down there, it's northwest at 10. San Luis Pass is 8. Coast Guard Station in Freeport is northwest at 8. Up in the bay, looks like kind of a west and northwest at Clear Lake Park at 7. So Matagorda down there, Port O'Connor is northwest at 12 there at the Little Jetties, and the harbor at Matagorda is northwest at 5. So wind is not a problem this morning. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, so get out and make the most of it. Do what you can. All right, well, phone lines are open. Nobody's picking up this morning, so, hey, bring it. And 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And if you got a text or a question or anything like that, feel free with that. 713-480-6713. And then tides real quick for today. It looks like we're on a four-tide schedule. We're on a high right now. Our next tide will be a low at the Galveston Channel at 8:08 a.m. Then we have another high at 2:14 p.m. And then another low at 9:05 p.m. And we'll just go from there. And you hadn't heard any of the commercials yet for the CCA Star Tournament, they have their early bird sign-ups going on right now. You got till the 22nd to get signed up, and that automatically enters you into the drawing for a Dargle boat, a 21 Scout with an Evinrude engine and McLean trailer. So if you're thinking about fishing a Star this year, you might want to sign up early. You never know. They may draw your ticket. You may be a lucky winner. So, and that NASCAR race today is at Darlington. I missed that one earlier. I had a little brain cramp there. But it's looking good, you know, all up and down the coast. You know, I'm getting, talking to all of my friends that I've talked to all the time, and they're seeing a lot of, you know, we've been catching mostly residential fish all year, the ones that stayed in the bay all winter, wintered here, and now we have a influx of surf fish coming in, you know, and man, if you can catch it right on the beachfront right now with that movement that's going on, those fish are running that beach, especially when that water gets better, they come in tight, and it could, you could have an outstanding day. But that's beachfront fishing. If you don't drop out and get in the right place and fish the right spot, you're not going to catch anything. But for the most part, you know, we used to just, when you could drive the beach. Right now, I know on the West End you can't, so you're kind of limited to what you can do as far as looking around and seeing where you want to wade out. But we'd always key on rafts of mullet and, you know, especially in tight in that first or second gut with slicks, and just arm yourself with your favorite bait, whether you use live bait or lures, whatever you like to chunk. And pretty much those fish are quite aggressive at times, especially that first day or two of the water greening up. They get pretty aggressive. They go to snapping pretty good. I know when you'd get a long trend where the surf would stay clean and clear, then you'd have you had issues, so they'd start getting finicky with hitting certain lures and everything. You had to find the magic lure to throw, but when it got like that, it was usually live bait was king. All right, let's get to some phone lines. They're lighting up now. We got sickos are awake. Let's go to Ray Stanley in Highlands. Ray, good morning. What's up, bud? Did I miss that one, Johnny B? Something just happens. Open the phone lines up, and now they're not open. We'll get to it and see if we can figure out what went wrong there. That's not good. That's the old COVID-19 pattern. All right, Ray's back. Let's go to him now, see if we can get him up. Ray, are you up and at him, buddy?
Boy, cyberspace is a mysterious thing, isn't it?
Hey, nowadays you just never know with it. We depend on it and live our lives by it, but, boy.
Well, first off, I'd like to say to the Sicko Nation, thanks for the support with the situation I'm in with Carolyn. It was all very gratifying to hear from so many of them and get their support. It's
awesome.
A tough deal, but... anyway, it's good to see that we've all got each other's back, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well,
anyway,
we're all a big family, the outdoor community. You know, we're all one.
Yeah, I got some very, very heartwarming response from some of our Sicko Nation, I'll tell you. So anyway, so West Bay was on earlier this week, and if you wanted to get over there and chase birds and weed through about 10 or 12 dinks to get one keeper. So it's good to see some action going on for all of us that live over here in Freshwater City.
Yep. I understand.
It's a long way. It's been a long time since I've trailered all the way from here down to Fat Boys to put in. And of course at my advanced age, that gets to be a little bit of an adventure, even though I'm up to it. But you know, it takes you down through that part of I-45 that's been under construction for my entire life, as near as I can tell.
Yeah, you got to pick your poison on that trip, either 45 or 146. Oh, how miserable you want to be, you know.
Yeah, that's an easy choice, though, I tell you. that 146 is just impossible. And until they get that all down through there redone, it's just kind of that's not even an option in my book. I'd rather go ahead and pay the $4 it takes to go over the big bridge and then go 45 that way than put up that mess down through Clear Lake, I'll tell you. But anyway, that's the story as far as my fishing. That's the first fishing I've done. I guess if there's anything to come out of what my situation is, it kind of frees me up here at home to get back in that Triton and do a little fishing, even though I would probably select a different option even there if I had a choice. But since I don't, I just get out there and go. So,
well, that's the way you do it, man. Yeah. Can't catch them unless you put it in the water and go get them, man.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, that's about all I have here. We missed most of the big rain yesterday, but I think you got it down on the bay, didn't you?
Well, I got a little bit. I didn't get a whole lot. I don't know. I might have received an inch, and then the day before I got about a half to three quarters. So it was much needed rain for me. I didn't want 5 or 6 inches like a lot of people got, but I may have got an inch and a half, couple inches.
It didn't hammer down your maters, did it?
No, it didn't. I was real fortunate on that, too. You know, just right up the shoreline from me, north of me, they had some really high winds kind of from Bond up towards Blaine. But they're off Umbrella Point. I didn't get all those high winds like a lot of them did.
Well, it was really funny the way that, not funny, but strange the way that thing split up. And it actually split up and went around you and me and then shoot just a block and a half up your street at Bonds. It hammered them. And, of course, the Clear Lake area got about 4 inches. So that'll... And so did Galveston. So that may mess up the West Bay deal, even though I think it probably tends to clear pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to mess them up as salty as they are, and you know.
No, that's right.
Close to the pass and all that. But well, Ray, hang in there, buddy. We're sorry what you're having to go through, but I know you're a strong person, and you'll get through it, man. Hang in there.
Well, I certainly will, and I guess one of the big advantages I've got right now is Carolyn's taking it pretty well, too, so that helps on my end a bunch. So, anyway, thanks again to everybody for the support, and I'll tag up with you next Sunday if I don't see you before.
Okay, Ray. Take care, my friend.
Adios.
See you, bud. All right, that's Ray Stanley over in Highlands, Texas. All right, next up we got Jeff. Jeff, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hey, good morning, Captain Lee. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Get through all this nonsense we're going through. Hey, I have a little bass boat a guy gave me. I'm kind of rebuilding it.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes, I know my trolling motor is a 24-volt trolling motor. And so what type of batteries would I be looking at to put in there? And what kind of charger would I put in there?
How big a bass boat you got?
It's just a 15-footer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 24 volts is plenty. You know, depending on your battery capacity, you know, the room you have to store them in, whether to go with a group 24 or up to a 27 or 29, even a 31, it just depends on your, you know, how much weight you can handle and how much – you know, storage room you have to place your batteries in there.
Well, like I said, it came, you know, when I got this boat, I'm basically rebuilding it, but there were three batteries in the back with a charger, but there was all, you know, it's been out in the weather and it's been all just destroyed.
Yeah.
So I'm basically rebuilding with a good
24 volt two bank charging system. And, if you wanted to get fancy, you can get the ones that, you know, you can wire through your engine and your Perco and everything where it'll, when you get up and run, your alternator on your engine will recharge them, put more charge in them when you're making a run. You could put a system like that in it. And, you know, if you don't want to mess with it yourself, I recommend those guys up there by the airport, G&S Trolling Motors. They do a really good job on that with all your wiring and make it all neat and everything. And,
are they back in business? I mean, Yeah, I went by there last year, and I know that I think that the father,
no, Richard,
the dad,
Richard Totch, the fish dude, he gets all his stuff done there. He takes his trolling motors in there all the time.
Okay.
They're still rolling. They're good. Yeah.
Good, good. I'm glad to
Greg
hear that.
Greg and Sean, okay. they're not going out of business.
No, I didn't think there was. I just didn't know. I thought the guy told me he had one of his guys had some health issues, and he was going to have to back off for a minute. So
right.
He said that, but that was last year, too. So.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear they're back up and running then. Okay, well, I sure appreciate it.
Jeff.
Where would I get them batteries at? Anywhere?
Yeah, I got a place in Baytown where I buy mine. It's there on Alexander. It's a little battery warehouse. It's on the corner. It's an old gas station. They turn into a battery warehouse, and that's where I get all my vehicles and boat batteries and everything else. But, you know, you can – there's batteries. Everybody's got them, but –
Yeah, because I live up in north by Conroe, Magnolia area. So
yeah, just surf around, you'll find something.
I wonder if O'Reilly would carry something like that.
They do. They carry batteries, but
I know they carry marine batteries too.
They do. They carry deep cycle and cranking batteries, marine style.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. All right, buddy. Have a great Sunday. All right, take care.
You do.
All right. Oh, goodness, it's already break time again. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 520 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to our phone lines. We do have them available, 713-572-4610. Give us a call, open line Sunday. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Terry's up next. Let's go to Terry. Terry, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. Now I can. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a newbie. I inherited some rods, reels. I inherited a bunch of stuff. I don't even know how to use it. I've been trying to look it up, and I've been playing with it some here, and I'm heading down to Galveston right now. So anything you can tell me about how to fish salt water, I would certainly appreciate it.
Well, first thing is, do you know how to fish? Can you cast?
Oh, I know how to fish. No. I know how to freshwater fish when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. And
then
we have a place up in Alaska where I used to go fishing out there off the Kenai, so I know how to do the salmon fishing up there. But salt water, I do not. No, sir. No salt water.
How do you prefer to fish? Do you throw bait or do you throw lures? How are you fishing?
I've always been a lure thrower. I mean, I've heard about all these people take the lures and go out there, and then all of a sudden the guys out here with live shrimp are out fishing everybody. So,
well, sometimes that happens, and sometimes it doesn't, but depends on the fish you're on, the school you're on, and how the fish are reacting to it, too. If they're lethargic and not biting very good, naturally live bait's going to do better. That's why people throw live bait, because a natural live bait is probably day in and day out is going to catch more fish. But most people do it for the sport anyway. They like throwing lures. A lot of people enjoy fishing that way. They're not as patient to sit there and look at a cork or wait for a bottom thump or something like that. They're covering a lot of water and searching for fish. It just, where are you going to fish at?
That's what I'm saying. I'm heading down right now, and I was just going to go to the beach and I've checked out Seawolf Park. I mean, it looks like a wade fishing might be my ticket. It looks like I like to wade because I've always, love water. I've always been in the water, so wade fishing is the ticket I'm going after.
Well, you know, the surf's, this is the prime time of the year for the surf. I don't know how flat it is yet or how green it is, whether it cleaned up overnight or not. Big question. You just have to get down there at daylight and check it out. You have kind of a northwest wind, which is blowing off the mainland now against the grain. But that surf's been roughed up real bad for quite a while now. Now, I did talk to Plog yesterday, and he said that green water wasn't far out. You know, the water's pretty on out. And we're on a high tide right now. We're fixing to be on an outgoing. And, you know, you just have to look at the water and make the most of it. And, you know, when you fish a surf, reading the water's real key, knowing how deep to go out or, you know, this morning behind the pass, if you've got a northwest wind blowing into that shoreline, that won't be good. The surf will be protected. The wind will be over your shoulder throwing out. So You're just going to have to look at the water and see if it's fishable.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, can I ask you another question if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Again, I know how to throw rods, reels, bait casters, spin wheels, and all that kind of stuff. It's got braided line on there. I inherited something. I don't know what it is. I've done some research, and all I've seen is it's a bait holder. It's a styrofoam loop that's got netting on it. Now, am I supposed to carry that out there in the water and wade fish with me and put my bait in there, or am I supposed to catch my catch in there? Or what?
No, that's for your catch. That's called a donut.
Okay.
It's a styrofoam ring with a netting on it, and it's got a drawstring on top. That's to put your fish in to keep sharks off of them, if there's any sharks in the area. If you have them on a stringer, then they'll bite them off behind the head.
I got you. Now, will that truly keep the sharks off of it in that netting, though?
It's supposed to. I know when they get real bad down in Matagorda, they use another kind of contraption where the sharks can't get to it. A lot of times I've never had any issue with it or had anybody fishing with me that's had any sharks mess with their fish in one of those donuts, but I have heard stories it has happened. But, you know, if they're that bad, they're eating fish out of a donut, I'm going to be walking back up on the sand. I'm going to the house.
I got you. Well, the thing is, too, though, you know, I would think that if when I catch a fish, I would, you know, I'd want to gill him, you know, make sure he bleeds out, just put him in the cooler. It ain't gonna hurt my feelings. I don't need to catch three or four.
No, if you do catch one, he's real bloody. Don't leave him in the water. Take him. Go ahead and walk to the bank and throw him in a cooler. You don't want a bloody fish hanging off your stringer and bleeding in your donut. That'll attract sharks, no doubt.
Yes, sir. And any particular type of. All right, one more question. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to take up your whole show. These leaders are strength. The leaders, I mean, is it? I see these guys with these hooks on there, and they've got all this wire all the way to that hook. They don't throw that fish off at all. The trout don't say, hey, man, that don't look real. I mean, what's the best thing to do there?
You talking about using a monofilament like fluorocarbon leader or something like that?
Yes, sir. Some of these rigs, he already had them rigged up with monofilament. And some
yeah.
of them had to straight all the way down to the hook. He didn't have anything on it.
Huh. No, I would, you know, if you're throwing braid, you can, you know, it depends on the fish and everything. You know, like Blaine, my best bud, he ties straight braid straight on to every lure he throws. He doesn't even mess with a leader or anything. You know,
yes,
and that's the advantage of braid. It's, you know, abrasion resistant, and it's a lot stronger and doesn't cut as easy as mono. But for real clean water conditions, a lot of guys like to go to a fluorocarbon leader. Plus, it changes the way your lure works, too. You get a little more sink rate with it, and you don't overwork your lure as bad with it. You get just enough stretch that you're not, you know, overworking that lure.
Yes, sir. All right. And one more thing, and I'll leave you alone.
All right.
He's got a bottle of something that's called bait lure or something. It's called shad.
Yeah, that's probably fish attracting. It's a scent deal.
Okay, and you're supposed to put that on your lures?
Yeah, you spray it on your lures, and, you know, it's sometimes, you know, I don't know. There's pros and cons of that stuff. I know it works, the scent does, you know, but a lot of people are using scented baits now, like Gulp and things like that, where scent stays in it. You know, if you throw that lure a time or two, you've washed all that off, you'll spend all your time spraying your bait down, throwing it out. And just, just go fishing. Don't complicate things. Concentrate on what you're doing and how you're working your lure and reading the water, and you'll do just fine.
Yes, yeah, so I lost my dad when I was a young guy, and one thing when he used to take us fishing up there in Alaska, he just said, don't worry about that. Just go fishing. Just have fun.
That's it.
Yep. Hey, I appreciate your knowledge, sir. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Good luck to you. All right, be safe.
Hey, all right.
Okay, it's 5:29 already. We got on the phone lines hanging. We got Jimmy, Guitar Dave, Mike, and Michael. You guys hang with me. I'm going to do a quick commercial break, and we'll come back to you and get with it. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 5:35 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to our phones. And let me refresh my screen. I can't remember the last caller. I guess Terry's up next. Terry, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. Maybe not, huh, Johnny B?
Terry, you're live.
No Terry. Well, he's still on my screen. Well, I'll go to Jimmy next. How about that? Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hello.
Hello.
What's going on?
Not a lot. Is this Jimmy Phillips?
Yeah. How you been, man?
Good. What's up, bud?
Not much, man. How about things been going with you?
Couldn't be better. Everything's,
yeah.
Everything's according to Hoyle.
Me and a friend of mine, he was sitting on his deck. He raised them Wagyu cattle, you know. You heard
of
that?
Yeah, Wagyu beef. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he said, man, I think we're going to actually have a spring this year. You know, meaning it hadn't gotten that hot, really.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Oh, we've already seen it. You know, we've I've been talking about that all spring, how we're really having real spring this year. Yeah.
And that's something. Yeah, I felt the same way. I didn't know. I hadn't been, you know, listening that much, but I'm trying to get back into it. But you remember back in the day when they used to have them trout runs, right?
Yeah.
And I can remember when I was a kid, they had that pass that they closed down.
Yeah, rollover.
Yeah, they would run through there. But I was curious. I know you got a lot of knowledge. What happened to that trout run?
Well, it was a real big run back then because we did have a lot of fish. I mean, we had a lot more fish than we have now, and it was more.
Didn't it happen around this time of the year?
Right now, yeah. It's you could always bank on it happening anywhere from like May the 9th to about May the 15th or 20th. And it usually correlated around the time of spring shrimp season opening, like, which is always opened on May 15th. And, because you get your shrimp run, and naturally when you get a shrimp run, you're going to get a trout run. The shrimp are coming in, fish are going to come with them. Shrimp going out, fish are going to go with them, you know, just like in the fall.
Yeah, Wendy was telling me them trout would come all the way up around Eagle Point and all that, you know.
Oh, yeah, and they're doing it now. It's just, with the amount of fish that we have in the bay now and then the fish that come in, that increases your chances a lot better of catching more fish if you're a numbers person. And
so do you think the habitat in the Galveston Bay is what changed all that?
Well, no doubt about it. You know, severe weather patterns, you know, like we had all those years of drought. See, we're on about a 10-year, bad pattern is what I call it. Just, it's not good for the ecosystem. You had 3 or 4 severe years of drought where it just, you know, the bay, when you got salinity rates at 28 and 30 parts per thousand in the back of Trinity Bay for that long, I mean, that just tells you how dry it had been. You go from that. Yeah, you had too much salinity, which was bad for your oyster beds, you know, due to oyster drills and other things.
Yeah, you're right.
Then you turn right around and have 6 straight years of extreme, you know, freshwater runoff, flooding. I mean, that's all bad. I mean, that's 10 years of it. And when you lose your habitat, which we have, you know, 2/3 of our oyster beds have died. All of our Orangia clams up in Trinity Bay are dead. And when you don't have that water filtration, you just, you know, you don't see the rafts of mullet and the things that feed off of that. You just don't have the nutrients.
It's a fragile thing, isn't it?
It's very fragile, very much so. And it's just been a bad pattern. And, you know, we went through all this talk and everything, you know, a year or two ago on cutting the limits and all that. But I think 90% of the fishermen are happy with the limit reduction because now they're actually able to catch a real limit.
Yeah.
5 fish is much easier to catch than 10. And everybody's happy. 5's plenty per person. And we'll get it back. It's just going to take time, but we got to have help from Mother Nature. It's not just us. I mean, we need, you know, the fishermen need to help out, but Mother Nature needs to give us a break too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can remember there was a guy at my job, you know, when I worked at the railroad, and he told me he'd fill his truck up with ice. And this is, I guess this was back around the 70s, if I'm not right. But he'd go down to Crystal Beach and said he'd take a net and drag it. And it was completely legal if you had some type of license.
Yeah, it was a beach seine.
Yeah, and they would pull all these trout, and he said he'd come to work and sell them and make side money doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how many fish we had back then.
Is that true? I mean, that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It is, huh? And I've heard that from more than one.
You could buy a commercial fin fish license. I had one back in the 70s and early 80s before they banned netting, you know, and commercial fishing that way. I caught all mine on a rod and reel, but that's how I made more money selling fish than I did guiding trips.
Isn't that something? Yeah, they he told me he'd drag them nets up, and there'd be, I mean, just a ton of trout, and some of them would be huge in there. He said,
be as long as your leg in that net. I used to watch him do it down there on the beach, man.
Yeah, really, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I bet that was something to see, you know?
We'd be out there wading the surf thinking we were catching some really nice fish, and then those seiners would get there about 9 or 10 in the mornings. They'd make their big loop out there. They'd take a rowboat and row it out and put that seine out and make a big pocket, and then they'd stand on the beach on both ends of it and pull it in. And it was a shocker to see what they were dragging in. You just thought you were catching fish. It was a jaw dropper, a heart stopper. There'd be trout in there 10, 12 pounds, man.
I believe you. That's what he was saying, but I didn't know if it was true or not.
No, that's true. He's spot on with that one.
I had to talk to somebody with some whiskers, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody that's been around a little while.
Blow your mind what they'd bring in.
Yeah. I just had one more question for you. I know you got some people holding.
Yeah, I got a full board I got to get to before the top.
Have you planted, you done any tomatoes this year?
I'm overrun with them. It's this good spring has made tomato harvesting quite good.
I'm happy for you, man.
Yeah, beautiful tomatoes this year.
All right, well, you have a good one. It was good talking to you.
Them old tomato hornworms and cutworms and stuff showed up about 3 days ago, but I finished them off real quick. One good spraying, and I had dead worms everywhere.
You put that Liquid 7 on them?
Liquid 7, buddy. It knocked them right out.
Yeah, you can mix that as strong as you want.
My wife took three of those big tomato hornworms and put them in a styrofoam cup with a whole branch of a tomato plant in there and put a lid on it, and I watched them eat every bit of foliage off of those limbs in less than 1 hour.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how bad
they can tear up.
Yeah, if you miss a day or two on them, they'll nuke your tomato plants. They'll wipe them smooth out.
One time I was down on my knees, you know, and I was picking tomatoes in the garden, and I'm looking, you know, and I wasn't paying attention, and I looked up, and I swear to God, that hornworm was about an inch from my eyelid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they're the same color as the plant.
I know, man.
You can't see them.
It freaked me out, man.
You got to look for them.
And they're weird looking, man.
Yeah, they are.
But you know, do you know what those turn into? They turn into a big old moth.
Well, I got news for them. None of mine are going to turn into anything. They're worm dirt now.
This is no lie. I got pictures of it. If I can find them, I'll send them to you. I had one of them hornworms in a bucket. It was a blue bucket. You put that, you know, the syrup you buy from Tractor Supply for your cattle.
Yeah.
And I had a, he was in there, and that son got hatched out, and that moth was as big as your hand.
Oh, yeah.
And it had, and I'm not kidding you, it had two baby blue dots on each side of the wing, and you can see the where he's sitting there. You're not looking at the bucket because the bucket's not there. It's dirt. You know what I mean?
Right.
He had two baby blue dots on each side of his wings, and he was brown. I swear to you.
I'll be darned.
Nobody believed me, and I've got pictures of it, but he did hatch out right there on my porch. I couldn't believe it. It was a moth. That's what they are, moths.
Yeah.
As big as your hand.
They'll strip a tomato plant in a heartbeat. All right, Jimmy, I got to run, buddy.
All right,
see you, man. All right, next up we got Guitar Dave, and he's Mr. Birthday Boy today. Happy birthday, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, Cap Mick. Hey.
What's up?
Hey, Cap Mick. Oh, man, yeah, those moths, they do change colors a little bit. You know, they'll adapt to the and then that's like a lot of the lizards I got now, they look like prehistoric lizards, and they're getting, you know, the different kind of lizards that's been running around. Now, Cap Mickey, thanks for the happy birthday, and I tell you what, though, boy, I'll be 59, man, you know, I'm proud to be here, but I, you know, you were talking with Captain Tony a while ago about the ice picks, man, I got a plethora of ice picks, like, here, because in Houston here, I got a bunch of them, and I was going through the kitchen drawers here at my mom's.
Right.
And, man, there's some real nice, cool ones. And then you got the church keys. You know, oh, man, you got Falstaff, Pearl, Slits, Hams. Man, all those, I guess maybe my grandpa and my grandma and them, I guess when we was going through Old 75, going to New Waverly every Friday night, you know, during my whole when I was a kid, they'd stop at the different beer joints there and talk with all the people, and then when we get into town, you know, then they we had a good time. But on the ice picks, making homemade ice cream, that's one of my favorite things to remember about sitting on the front porch up there in New Waverly. And then when we only had a crank ice cream maker, we put my little brother on top to hold it down, and then me and my brothers would take turns cranking it. And, man, we was uptown when Dad bought the electric ice cream maker.
Oh, yeah.
But we'd go, yeah, but we'd go next door. That way, well, we'd all get, and here's another thing that you can't do no more. We'd all get in the back of that. It was brand new then, like a 68 Chevy pickup truck with the wooden deal. I think Santa Fe Jim had one just like it. And then you ride down to the dairy down here, and my grandpa would bring them watermelons and cantaloupes and the old barter system. They'd give us fresh cream. He'd give them that, and then we'd turn around and come back. My mom would cook it up, and next thing you know, we was running trot lines. So, you know, it, wow. I just been going through, you know, kind of cleaning up around here at mom's and everything. I've been going through a lot of memories, man. And, oh, my mom was a shutterbug. We got so many pictures around here you wouldn't believe. And but other than that, I appreciate the happy birthday. Guess what? I got to go out here in the hood and pick up trash, man.
There you go. Well, keep them in line over there.
I'll be careful. Yeah, I've been watching my back, and I appreciate all the police officers and my firefighter buddies that, you know, they always kind of stop by and check on me over there. But I'm thinking, let's see. If I sit down and write the next song, it's going to be Ice Picks and Church Keys, man. I think I got a lot of ammunition to put behind that song, you know, as far as lyrics.
Yeah.
So, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, when you talking about them worms. I seen them worms. Yeah, you're right. They will destroy anything in a heartbeat. And then that's another thing that we learned being out there, too, is how to fend for yourself. Fishing, hunting, growing stuff. Boy, I wish the kids today would all have learned stuff like that instead of just messing around with their cell phone.
Well,
but I'm going to get out there right now, and I really appreciate you, Captain.
Well, happy birthday.
You don't know how much thanks a lot. And you don't know how much you mean to a lot of people out here, like that gentleman that called in and was asking all those questions. That's
yes,
what
sir.
Your show's all about, brother.
All right, buddy.
That's what it's about. All right, thank you.
Go get them. All right. See you, man. All right. GTD, now let's go to Mike. He's up next. Mike, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing?
I couldn't be better. And yourself?
Doing well. I'm hadn't talked to you in a while. I used to work at Jamaica Beach Police. Now I'm at Tiki Island.
Over at Tiki Down. All right. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Sir.
Jamaica Beach, Mike. All right. How you been, brother?
Oh, I'm rolling and patrolling. it's beautiful. 70 degrees. It's about a 5 to 8 mile an hour northwest wind, but it's nice.
Oh, man. The days we live for after all the weather we had the last 2 weeks, all this wind and stuff, it makes it nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was horrible last night, man.
Mm.
I just want to tell you, good morning. Good to talk to you again.
Well, I wonder where you've been. I hadn't heard from you in a while.
Well, you know, I'm on midnight now, so I'll be listening from Thursday to Sunday for sure.
Well, you got those good hours like I do, brother.
Yes, sir. You be safe, Mickey. Have a
good Mike. Good to hear from you, man. You have a great day. See you, buddy. All right, take care. All right, Jamaica Beach Mike. He's Tiki Mike now. That's what we'll call him. All right, let's go to Michael. Michael, you're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. It's my first time calling in. I've been listening for a while. I am actually trying to do some wade fishing this morning. Came down to Galveston. I had my plan. To go hit Lake Como out by the Galveston State Island Park, but I showed up and gates are all locked up. I can't get out there.
Oh no!
So I'm desperately trying to get into some flounder, and I was just wondering if you had some suggestions on an area I could go. Man, I'm all rigged up, but got no spot to get on the water.
Well, you got a northwest wind this morning, and which will be blowing into that south side. You know, if it's not too bad, you could do it. I don't know how hard it blew during the night while we were trying to get some sleep, but I know when I woke up at 2:30, it was kind of west at about 5 at my house. So I don't know how much that water settled out overnight. You know, you can go down, you know, if you're looking for flounder, though, golly, you know, if you could get some kind of access to the Galveston Channel or even get even in the Bolivar Pocket along the rocks there at the jetties in that far corner right there, that's pretty good for flounder this time of year.
You say the Bolivar Pocket. I don't know where that's at.
Yeah, that's on the other side. You got to take the ferry across from Galveston over to the Bolivar Peninsula, and go down the beach road there, 87, to pull in that first access, and then turn back to the right and head towards the North Jetty, and get up in that pocket and fish along the edge of those rocks. I'm guessing because I don't know how clean that water is going to be after the blow we had yesterday with beach current state, you know, hazard statements and all that with all those big waves. It'd be hard for me to believe if that water is cleaned up very much overnight that quick.
I got you.
That's the only draw. But you could go down to Pelican Island maybe and, you know, wade or fish off the bank there on that Galveston Channel side of Pelican Island, fish along there and see if you catch a flounder or two.
All right, well, I'm going to give it a go, man. I got everything ready to go, so let me go find some water.
All right, well, good luck with that, and hopefully the water cleans up. By later in the day, it may get better, you know, on that incoming tide this afternoon. Maybe an afternoon bite, too.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
Okay, good luck. All right. Yeah, that's just unfortunate, one of those shoot-from-the-hip type deals, you know, after you've had a blow all week. A southerly, and then you got this northwest wind, and you're going to have to fish a protected side. You just got to hope for the water to clean up. You know, the more tide changes you get, the better off. You know, it's going to clean better. But that's part of being a fisherman, man. You got to fight it all. You just got to make the right call, know where to go and what to throw. All right, well, it's getting break time already again. After the break, after our national anthem and all that in the top of the hour, we'll come back. We got Barry and Craig from G-Town, and all you folks just hang with me, and we'll get to you as soon as possible.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.